Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
We are spiritual beings. That's number one. We're spiritual beings. And we live in a physical body. That's number two. Spiritual beings in a physical body. Okay. Now, the way that I describe that, it almost sounds like it's separate, but it's not. It's one and the same. Every experience that we have, everything in the world is spiritual. It cannot not be. There is nothing that exists out the side of the idea of spirituality or life. It's all one and the same. And then the experience, in order for us in a physical body to experience life, we have to have the ability to perceive every side. That's what gives us the unique consciousness of actually having an experience. If we could only see just one side with everything and never experience anything different, that would not be a complete experience. So having a physical experience, like with spiritual beings having a physical experience, constantly having a physical experience, we have to understand that the spiritual and the physical is one and the same. It's not different. And the spiritual is no more right or holy or better or spiritual than the physical side. Unfortunately, a lot of it is taught that the physical side is less than the spiritual side. It's a different range of frequencies. The physical frequency in which we exist at is different than the spiritual frequency that we exist at, but they're all hooked up and connected. Every frequency is connected to the one above it and the one below it. All of you right now, wherever it is that you're sitting and listening and watching this, understand this. There are regular, normal, and I'm not talking about internet, regular radio stations that are playing in your home right now, but the frequencies are in your home. You can't hear them unless you turned on a regular radio. They can receive the frequency, amplify it so the human ear can hear it. Now, given that that's true, there's many stations at the same time in your home right now. But if you dial that station into, say, a rock station, you don't hear jazz, you don't hear talk radio, you don't hear the news, you don't hear gospel, you hear rock. That's what you hear because it is dialed into that frequency. But all the other frequencies are there at the same time in the same place. And of course, if you change the station, you'll hear a different frequency. It's the same thing with knowledge. All the knowledge that ever was or ever will be is 100% in all places at the same time. All the information is 100% present in all places at the same time. We now have in our lifetime a physical kind of description of the idea of all the knowledge being in the same place at the same time. You can look at the internet as a metaphor for that, because you go to Google or whatever your search engine is, and there's basically you can't look up and find out what it is. And it doesn't matter where you are, you can do that. But we can also do it with the way that we think. Because all the knowledge that is categorized throughout the world that we currently have in a physical, mental way of understanding had to be received by individuals who then could communicate it conceptually and put it into the written word. And that's what we have. That is how we have advanced as a people, as a society, through time. So all of that knowledge is, you see, really what happens is the only thing that we ever really do is we become more aware of our oneness with that great power of more life and the knowledge that exists in it. So it's like we're great big receiving stations, but we're also transmitting stations, and we transmit by how we use our thought. So human beings, unlike any other form of life on the planet, have what's known as an intellect. That's number three, an intellect. And the intellect is our ability to think, to choose consciously about the thoughts that we entertain, the thoughts that we choose to think, the the thoughts that we choose to express verbally, the emotions that we feel, and the physical actions that we actually take. And that brings us to number four, the emotions. So if we control our intellect in the way that we think here, that will automatically control the emotional state that we're experiencing with and through the body. Like that. As we switch what we're thinking about and how we're perceiving something, remember on the first call, I said that if you want to change your emotional state, change the meaning that you're giving to what you're experiencing. Because if you change the meaning to what you're giving of what you're experiencing, you'll change the emotional state that you're experiencing. You're only experiencing a negative emotional state or a suffering emotional state or a bad emotional state, whatever you want to put it, because of the meaning that you're giving to what's going on right now. That's why I said God is good all the time. If you look at this and say, this is good, this is good, this is good, it's not a Pollyanna idea if you then take it to the next level, which I'll show you what that is here. So we have knowledge and we have information. That exists in basically what we know as the unseen spiritual plane of life. It exists everywhere, 100% in all places at the same time. As we use our intellect, we're controlling the way that we think. So we're thinking either on higher frequencies or lower frequencies. So when we talk about a higher frequency today, think about good thoughts, positive thoughts. God is good all the time. When we're thinking about lower frequencies, think about fear, anxiety, loss of hope, depression, those types of things. If we tune it like a radio and start thinking different thoughts, higher thoughts, and how do we do that? We change the meaning that we're giving to what's going on. So we're looking for and we're claiming through our power of choice that this is a good thing. What happens is that we tune our mind into the good that's in the universe, the life that is in the universe. And as we do that, because our mind is both a sending and receiving station, it allows us to create a completely different image of what it is that we desire. It's through the control of the intellect. Now, all human beings ever really do is create. But we create what we think about. The more we think about something, the more we focus on something, the more opportunity we create to manifest that in our life. If we're constantly thinking about good, if we're constantly thinking about possibility, if we're constantly thinking about what we want to manifest, the direction that we want to go, that we not only want to survive what we're going through, but we want to come out bigger, we want to come out stronger, we're doing an amazing thing because we are attaching that frequency of thought and harmonizing it with everything that is possible in a way to do that in the universe. Everything that's possible. And that's the information that then downloads in our mind and it forms an image. Those images are opportunities. They're opportunities to make new choices and do different things so that you're not just in a self-preservation mode, which we talked about yesterday, that when we're in a self-preservation mode, we're actually not in love. We're not thinking about our brother and sister. We're more focused just on ourselves. And when we do that, we literally close down the opportunities that we have to expand our personal universe. The opportunities will always come in the form of helping another individual. If it's not a win-win, it's not a win, even though it may give you a bit of relief in the moment. You may think long-term it's a win, but anything that's done out of fear always comes back around to bite you. It's the law of cause and effect. Energy always returns to its source of origination. It's equal and opposite, and whatever it is that you put out is going to come back to you, right? So then this image, as we take action on the opportunities, we then manifest it down into the physical world as results. those become the results that we're actually getting. All right. Now let's go to the next concept. All right. We're starting off with, I'm going to go one page forward here. Starting with the idea of all life and spirit. Spirit is constantly flowing to and through us. And as it flows to and through us, if we use our intellect, which is also part of our conscious mind, we can build an image of what it is that we want in our conscious mind. Then the next thing is to move, is to learn to control the emotional state around this image. Because we can think a thought, but we can still feel like crap. Because part of our mind is focused on what's wrong with everything. So it's very important that we begin to change the meanings that we're giving to everything. Remember, God is good all the time. Universe is good all the time. The subconscious part of the mind, which is here. So this is the conscious mind. This is the subconscious mind. This is the body. The subconscious mind is also known as the emotional mind. The emotional mind is basically programmed with emotional reactions that we have learned and experienced and been taught and have been repeated over and over and over and over again in our life. When we go into an emotion, generally, if we don't override it by thought, our actions will follow along the course of emotions. And in a time like this, where emotions are very high, where news that's coming out is not the best, when we slip into the idea, because we become so absorbed in it in the way that we think, when we slip into the idea of giving it a negative meaning, and that's all that we see, we have a tendency to have our emotions follow along with it. And then we can get stuck in that groove. We can get stuck in that emotional groove where it's constantly going on over and over again. So what we want to do is we want to get our emotions right. Now, I'm going to show you something here that's quite important on this concept. You know what? I'm going to do it on a different page because I think if I draw it from scratch, it'll be easier to understand. So when we are babies, our conscious mind kind of looks like this, meaning that we don't have, our subconscious mind kind of looks like this. Our body looks like this. We don't have a conscious mind yet developed. That doesn't show up till about 7 years old. And it continues to develop into our early 20s. So when that's going on, all of the ideas and images that are coming into our mind become fixed here. They become fixed and they form habits. It becomes a habitual way of thinking. So what we end up with is the subconscious mind then becomes very good at how to think about what it is that we're actually experiencing in life. So once the conscious mind comes up and that gets capped off like that, conscious, subconscious, we have our senses. We're basically taught to go through the world trusting that the information that we're getting through our senses is 100% accurate and how to evaluate that. That is the how part. And what registers in the conscious mind is what? This is what we're experiencing outside of us in our results, our circumstances, and our environment. Our environment is made up of people, places, and things. So let's look at it like this. Our eyes see our results, our environment, our circumstances. It feeds that information back in through, and an image forms on the screen of your mind. Right now, this is an image that's forming on the screen of your mind. That is the what. This is what you're currently seeing. Your subconscious mind is telling you how to think about what it is that you're actually seeing. And that's coming from how you were programmed to think most of your life. If you don't override it with your ability to choose how you think, which is totally conscious, using your intellect, you're basically forced to think however you were taught to think about something. That's why people are having such a big problem right now. One second. That's why people are having such a big problem right now. So what we need to do is to choose how we're thinking by changing the meaning that we're giving to the results that we have, the circumstances that we're in, the environment, which is people, places, and things. When we change that meaning, that's happening here in the conscious mind by the correct use of the intellect. We're choosing how to think about something. Now, when we choose how to think about something, the next step is to create and choose the emotion, the corresponding emotion, with those thoughts. So the corresponding emotion, the first one that you want to go into is gratitude, because gratitude helps release or discharge the negative energy around what it is that you're currently experiencing in your life. And when you do that, it allows the energy of hope and purpose and possibility to start to come up within inside of yourself. Very, very important. Every time you experience a negative emotion, ask yourself, what is the meaning that I'm actually giving to what I'm observing right now, what I'm experiencing right now? Because that's why you're feeling a negative emotion. Your mind instantaneously, the speed of light, when you experience a what, which is going on right now, the coronavirus is a what, your subconscious mind is programmed how to think about what it is that you're experiencing. And it happens over and over and over again. And as long as you allow that process to keep happening unchecked by your own consciousness, the biggest problem that we have is that we keep reprogramming the mind to automatically respond in a negative way about it is what it is that we're experiencing. And we weaken, we don't completely lose, but we weaken our ability to choose a different thought about what it is that we're experiencing. And the it's like a muscle. The weaker that we get, the more we find ourselves stuck in the same problem because we don't know how to shift our thinking out of it. So let's just go through this again. The way that we shift our thinking and the way that we shift our emotion is to first understand that everything is actually good. Everything is actually spiritual. There is no, in higher consciousness truth, there's no good and bad. Good and bad are judgments based on meaning that we're giving to something. Human beings gave meaning to everything. Nothing showed up with its own individual meaning. We looked at it, we observed it, and we said, this is good. We looked at it, and we observed it, and we said, this is bad. We look at it, we observe it, and we say, this is atrocious. This is a trauma. This is deplorable. And then we tell our mind that over and over again, which causes us to hyper-focus on the thing and only see what's wrong with something. Now, if we go back and we actually look at the law of polarity, it looks like this. So what we can say is we could say that this is bad, and we can say that this is good. Now, if we're looking at it with our senses and we're looking at it with our intellect, but we can't see that because all of the meaning that we've gave it is this. The meaning is bad, period. Period. I'm not moving off of that idea, period. It's totally bad. There's not a damn thing that's good about this. Then all we notice is what's bad. We cannot see with our perception, with our awareness, with our sensory acuity, we cannot see. We're giving a command to our brain that says, only see the bad, only see the bad, only see the bad. And then we get convinced, we convince ourselves that our experience is the right experience. And we reinforce it subconsciously. It then becomes a belief. It controls our emotional state. It controls what we see. It controls how we choose. And it controls the results that we get. Like, everybody would love to be successful in life. But they don't understand that this process is controlling what they're experiencing. So they find themselves in a place where that becomes real and they don't know how to make new choices. It's like we're paralyzing our ability to move to conscious awareness because we're given the wrong rules as a kid. That's why I said yesterday, it's so important that we break the rules in our thinking. When we break the rules, it allows us to move over here and to start to make different choices. We begin to see different opportunities. It's so extraordinarily powerful when we do that. And we have to do it over and over and over again. It's literally you're training yourself how to think differently about everything that you know in your life. But this is why, this is the only reason why you have some people that will come out of this and things will be amazing. And some people will come out of this and it will have destroyed their life forever because they don't know that they had a choice other than destruction. They were so focused on it being bad that that's all they can see. And then their life becomes destruction. So it reinforces everything. Our environment that we create for ourselves is so important. What we surround ourselves with, people, places, and things, if we don't choose wisely and negativity is constantly reinforced, what it is that we want is constantly reinforced by the limitations of everybody else. If you only read the negative news, if you only surround yourself with people that are being negative, if you only absorb things in your mind that are not positive but negative, very soon your whole life turns into that and you cannot see. We call this a huge blind spot in a human being. They cannot see what is right in front of them. In psychological terms, it's called a scotoma. The thing could be right in front of them, but the command in their mind is to see something else, so they can't actually see it. We have to really think about what we're doing here. We have the power to make this so unbelievably amazing. But we all individually have to take responsibility to change the way that we think and really focus on the outcome, right? If anybody has ever gone to something like racing school or something like that, and where they teach you how to race a car, you get in a car and they teach you how to race it, and as what happens is a lot of people start to go into a curve and they start focusing on the wall. And the instructor right next to you will take you and turn your head and he'll say, look in the direction that you want to go. When you're taught to ski, they tell you to look in the direction that you want to go. There's a lot of sports like that. There's a lot of things in life like that. If you don't look in the direction you want to go, your mind starts looking for what you don't want, and it leads your body, it leads your choices, it leads you into a dark place of opportunity. Not something that is light and bright and will come into your life and change it. These two exist at the same time in the same place. Choice is what allows us to move either from here to over here. If you're having negative experiences, someplace in your mind, you're on this side of the line. And you have to ask yourself, what is the meaning that I'm giving to myself by what it is that I'm observing? Even if it's bad for you right now, maybe you're running out of money, maybe you've been laid off, maybe your business is in shambles, you can't operate right now, and all you see is money going out or the potential of money going out, no money coming in, and the length of how long we're going to be in this so-called crisis for keeps extending every single day. If that's all you focus on, the result is you go all the way to the end and you make your life a catastrophe. So you're focused in the wrong direction. If you come back and you say, okay, I may not know what is good about this, but I'm going to hold that higher truth in front of me and say, this is good. Because what we're going to do is we're going to allow truth to become our guide in life, not facts. It's good to know the facts, but you want to follow truth. We have to have the facts. But we follow the truth. When we follow the truth, we create it. The facts kind of just tell us what to stay away from. So we don't walk into something from an ignorant perspective. For instance, I'll give you an idea. The law of gravity is something that everybody obeys whether they like it or not. But if you take a very innocent little baby and you put him on the top of a roof and he falls off of that roof It's usually most certain death, but it was not a conscious choice. The baby did not have the intelligence or the awareness to understand that if it went off of an edge, that it would go down. That's why children have parents, because hopefully they know better. And we now know that some parents don't know better. But there's no test for parents to be parents. So even the ignorant can become parents. But think, really think. Most of the mistakes that we make in life come from ignorance. It comes from looking at or evaluating two things that we say are bad. It's like the lesser of two evils type of an idea. Well, screw the lesser of two evils. If you're stuck in that place, you have to ask yourself, it's not the situation that has me stuck. It's my thinking that has me stuck. So I have to take my mind off of the meaning that I'm creating it, and I need to give this a different meaning. Wherever you give something a positive meaning versus a negative meaning, you will find a new start. You will find a new opportunity, but you can't find it if you're thinking from a negative place. You understand the facts, you know the facts, but then you move into what do I desire? What do I desire? What do I want to happen? Now that does come by plan. You have to plan that, but you can't get to the thoughts that create the plan if you're stuck in giving yourself the wrong meaning, because it forces your mind to only see what's wrong, to only see what's going to cause the destruction or the catastrophe in your life. This is extremely important because you have the power to change that. Now, let's go back here for a second. If I choose to give new meaning and change my thoughts, and then I consciously say to myself, the first emotion that I want to experience is gratitude, okay? What I'm doing is I'm taking control of my conscious mind by the use, by the proper use of my intellect, by the creative use of my intellect, by the ability to choose with my intellect, I am allowing the emotion of gratitude to begin to fill my being. And then when I get to that place, I say to myself, this is good. And I keep saying to myself, this is good. This is good. This is good. It may take a day. It may take 2 days. It may take a week. But all of a sudden, you're going to see new thoughts come into your mind, thoughts that do have possibility. So then you begin to reinforce in your subconscious mind an entirely new emotional set and a new how. A new how what? A new how, a new way to think about what it is that you're experiencing. So you begin to program your mind to think on a completely different level. This is how we go beyond good and evil. Because we refuse to obey the laws of good and evil. If we are stuck in the laws of good and evil, we stay stuck in the reality of good and evil, and we cannot supersede it in our life. Every single person on the planet has the ability to rise up above that when we follow the law of more life. The law of more life states that every single thing is happening for life, not for death. Even the death that we understand as human beings is not really a death. The spirit goes on, or the energy goes on. The body decomposes, and it's constantly moving when it does that. And it adds, if it's buried in the ground, it adds to the life of the earth. All it did was transform. It transmuted the energy. Perpetual law of transmutation of energy. It's the first law in the seven laws. And then what does that do? It adds to life again. And life comes back into more life. We got to really think about what we're doing and what we have. Very, very important. Okay? So we give a new meaning. It's a new how to think. And we have more opportunity to change our results, change our circumstances, and change our environment. Now, another thing. At the beginning of this lesson, I was talking to you about awareness. Let's look at how awareness works, because awareness is about changing the frequency in which you think to create what you desire. So I'm going to draw these horizontal lines and think of each one of these lines as a frequency and a change of awareness. In truth, there's millions of levels of awareness in the universe. And you might think to yourself, well, how do I understand what the state of my awareness is? How do I understand what frequency that I'm actually thinking on, or I'm the state of being that I'm being on in that frequency? It's very easy, and you don't want to complicate it. All you have to do is to look at your current results and your current circumstances. You could look at your environment too, but these are the two big ones, your results and your circumstances. If these are results and circumstances that you've been getting for a while, and because we've hit pause on the entire world, a while now is not a year, it's days. Okay, it's days. You have to change the way you're thinking about time right now, because time is condensed. It's massively condensed, right? It's like Einstein said, time is relative. Relative to what? To whatever you compare it to. So that's why I called this a pause, because it is a pause in our life. It's like a section of our life that'll be a blip on the screen a long time from now, but it's not our whole life. So what is a long time now? It's days. Why is it that way? Because the information that we're getting is changing so rapidly. Right? So we want to think about the results and the circumstances in the perspective of what are we actually in right now, and what is the situation? So a lot of people are watching their situation deteriorate, okay? So if your result is going in this direction, let's make sure everybody can see this. If it's going down, even if it's in the perception of your mind, right? Like because it's happening so fast, it doesn't necessarily have reached everybody yet in their own physical experience, right? So it may be the idea is happening. You know that everything is going over like dominoes or like a house of cards. It's collapsing from the bottom up, and it just hasn't reached you yet. But if it keeps going, it will reach you. It definitely will reach you. So you're thinking about that, and it's causing you to go down in your awareness instead of up. Why? Because fear is controlling the thought. When fear controls the thought, based on the facts, based on the meaning that we're giving to the facts, we go down in our awareness. That's the opposite of what we want to do. So when we change the meaning, we change the thought. And as we change the thought, we start to harmonize with different levels of awareness that are above us. So think about more life, less life in this direction. Okay? We want to continue to go up, more life. We want to change the frequency. We want to change what we become aware of as far as opportunities, within and without, by the way. Like the fact that you're all on this call from all over the world, people are interested in changing their internal experience and their internal opportunity so that they can have an effect on the external. Up is where we want to go. So what do we do? It's very important to know this. When we're in any kind of a situation like this, generally, the first thing that we can see is just maybe, say, one level, maybe two levels above where we are right now. So a little bit of hope comes in. A little bit of gratitude comes in. A little bit of, oh, I might be able to do something a little bit different. Like, I have been focused on this basically a week ago Thursday. I started to get very focused on what was actually going on. And throughout the entire week, I would say that my thought about what's happening has changed every single day. Every single day. And it's constantly going in an upward direction, but it's changing based on two things. The new meanings that I give to the information, the facts that are coming out, and the gratitude that I consistently practice for what's actually happening. So as we go through this, I keep coming up with better and better ideas to move through it and come out on the other side. So what happens is, so we experience gratitude because we've changed the meaning, and then we become aware. Aware is the next step. Aware of what? Aware of either a new way of thinking or an opportunity that's external of us. If you're becoming aware of an opportunity outside of yourself that's a different opportunity that's allowing you to go up, you are in a new way of thinking, or you wouldn't be aware of it. So it's for those of you that's happening for, that's great. Your practices are working. Keep doing it. So we become aware. Once we become aware, awareness isn't enough. At that point, we have to make a decision. We have to make a decision, because when we become aware, we have a tendency to do something that I think it makes sense, but in a way it's really bizarre. We become aware of what could be good, and that gives us some hope. But then all of a sudden, we become acutely aware of all the things that could go wrong. And a lot of people get stuck at this spot, and they get paralyzed. They procrastinate. They won't make a decision. They're either subconsciously or unconsciously waiting for somebody to come in and decide for them, which is a terrible thing. Or they're waiting to be rescued, or they just paralyze and they can't do anything because the fear then takes over. They're afraid if they go in this upward direction and they make a mistake that will become unrecoverable. So we go into, at this point, the detriment that happens is that we go into what if thinking. What if I make a mistake? What if I do the wrong thing? What if this, that, or the other happens? That can become unbelievably paralyzing because you start to go down a rabbit hole with what if thinking that you can't climb out of. I mean, once you get in that damn thing so far, you don't see daylight anymore, and it's really hard to pull yourself out of there. So the idea is this. Understand this. You will never know the outcome until you make a decision. You won't know. It'll just be a conjuring of your imagination based on a combination of both good and bad thoughts, upward thoughts or downward thoughts, and you'll stay stuck in that place. You can't possibly know the outcome. You may get further down the road and go, oh, see, if I had made this outcome, it would have been a total disaster. Or you may get further down the road and you're like, it's okay, but you won't know what the good outcome would have been had you done it. So you can't know staying in that place. The idea is that as soon as you see an opportunity, make a decision. Make a decision. Here's the thing. If you make a decision and you find out that you made an error, you can change it. But you want to do this from a place of thinking, and you don't want to make a decision based in fear. You want to make a decision based in gratitude, possibility, opportunity, more life. That's the idea. That's the place that we want to make a decision from. So we have gratitude, awareness, decision. Once you make a decision, the next step is that you have to change. You have to change your behavior. You have to step into that decision. What are the things that you have to do? Okay. This is where you start taking action. So because it's not all thought, it's now I have to take the correct actions. And as I take those correct actions, I adapt to what's going on. I adapt to the results. I adapt to the new result. Right now, a lot of people are in distress because they're being forced to adapt to a situation that they don't want. They're not empowering their thinking. They're only thinking about how everything's been taken away from them. And by cause and effect, their thoughts start to go downward in frequency. And what do you harmonize with when you start to get down here? More crap that you don't want in your life. And it's perpetual. It just keeps going and going and going. And you keep creating more and more and experiencing more and more of what you don't like. Now, it's important to know that even when you do this, there's going to be continue to be things that all of us don't like. Instead of being frustrated, instead of going into fear, we have to bring the tool of gratitude in. You don't need to know what's good about it to be grateful for it, because what you're saying is that I'm going to remove myself from the law of good and evil, and I'm going to come from a place of higher consciousness, and I know that that the truth says, based on the law of polarity, there must be something good about it, but I can't get to that good unless I go to gratitude. Gratitude gets you to good. Gratitude gets you to good. And God is good all the time. It's always here, but we were given the ability to choose our experience. And that experience is not arbitrarily taken away from you by something removing your power to choose. The only thing that's been changed is what we get to choose from. The people of the world, the governments of the world, the societies of the world created the world as we know it today. And it has a myriad of different choices and opportunities. But when the people that created it begin to take it away, we can't get focused on the idea of limited choices. You have the same amount of choices, you're just not aware of what they are yet. You don't have the same choices as you had a couple of weeks ago. That is true. But the most important thing is that you have the ability to choose. You have the ability to choose. That is not taken away from you. You don't want to go into fatalistic thinking and start thinking that your ability to choose has been taken away. It has not been taken away. Okay? So, gratitude, awareness, decide. Change, adapt. The last piece is growth. It's growth. After we go through that process, we experience a level of personal growth. It's like us as human beings, the way that we think, the way that we feel, the way that we experience, the way that we evaluate is taken up a notch. We're going up to a higher level of awareness. So in that sense, we move up to here, to this level of awareness. And when we move up to this one, we can then see to this one or to this one. But if we stay down here in fear, there's no way we can see up here because our mind is programmed and focused on looking at what's down here. And you can't see and focus on two places, two opposite places at the same time, because at that place you'll be in fear. Because and the real reason behind it is that when we're focusing on two places at the same time with two different consequences and fear comes in, the defense mechanism in your brain so that you don't do anything is to go into confusion. When you say to yourself, when you feel during the days and the weeks and the months to come, when you feel yourself in confusion, know that your brain is in fear. It is the first sign of fear. It's one of the first signs of fear is confusion. I don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. Let's get this straight. We don't know what to do because we're giving the wrong meaning, or we're giving, I wouldn't say wrong, because there is some, there, if we look at the polar opposite, there is things that are bad. So we're giving an unproductive meaning to what we're experiencing. And as we give what we're experiencing an unproductive meaning, then that form, that image takes shape in our mind. We become that image in our mind. That tells our eyes what to see external of us, and all we see is more of the same. So it causes us to go down. Observe, change the meaning, be grateful. Come from the higher truth that God is good all the time, that everything that we're experiencing is for good. And you will allow yourself to go through this process, and then you will see to higher and higher levels. And how do you come out of this in a really great way is to constantly do practice this, because you will go up one level, to the next frequency, to the next frequency, to the next frequency, until you're out. Until you're out. It's an absolutely amazing process that every person on the planet can follow if they understand the process. If we don't, we're kind of like almost forced in a way just to be in confusion because we don't know how to think correctly. This lesson teaches you how to start to think correctly, to move yourself out of this situation, to do good for yourself, to do good for your family, and everybody that you come in contact with. It allows you to make choices from a completely different place because you're transcending good and evil. You're moving to truth. good and evil is based on the facts and the meaning that we've given to those facts. That's all it is. When we go to evil, when we go to fear, we have pain and suffering. When we go to the other side, when we follow truth, we have joy, we have prosperity, we have calm, we have production, we have certainty in our body, and we reinforce that over and over and over again. It gets better. Believe it or not, if you have the right attitude, if you follow this process every day from now until forever, every day can get better. You'll think it can't get any better, and it gets better. Now, you have to be aware of a couple of things here before I open it up to questions. Number one, when you start to go up this way, you want to look at your new experience in the entirety of what it is in the pause. You don't want it to compare it to what the experience would be if this never happened. Because if we do that, we generally do a big disservice to ourselves. Because if this experience is amazing in and of what we're going through right now, but not compared to where you could be if this never happened, then you're going to feel bad about it. Abundance and winning is different in the pause than it is when life is the normal that we've experienced. If it ever gets back to that normal after this. This might be a huge reset button for the entire world, for the entire universe. And hopefully in a great way. But either way, you don't want to get stuck in the judgment of comparing the past or if this had never happened to your current prosperity. Your current prosperity. Because it's very different. It may be that it's even better than if it had never happened. We may find out it's even better than it never happened. Either way, anything that causes you to go into a destructive meaning is judgment. You don't want to go there. It makes everything a lot worse. Okay? All right, Steph, if you would like to open the line here, I'm going to get myself situated to sit down and I will answer questions.
Hello, everyone. All right, David, first question. I have a wellness spa. This is from Sherry. She posted yesterday. I didn't get a chance to answer her question. So I have a wellness spa that has provided hands-on services such as massage therapy, facials, acupuncture, and energy treatments. What biz strategy advice do you have for personal services? How can we comfort clients to return to our services at some point? What can we do in the meantime to create revenue? And when do you think people will be able to stop socially distancing and restore personal services again?
Okay.
That's a lot in one question.
It's a lot. And the answer, let me answer from the, you may have to remind me of these questions here, Steph.
Sure.
So as far as the social distancing and return to normal, I don't know. I don't have any more information than is made to the general public. What I have noticed that the powers that be keep doing is there's a subtle extension in their tone and in their language of how long this is going to last. At first, it was like it was a couple weeks, and then you heard, you know, maybe 3-4 weeks. Now we're hearing, you know, then it was like June, July. Now we're hearing, you know, into the fall. One person even, you know, like I said, would be 6 months. But there's some language. And here's the thing about this that I think everybody should realize. This is changing for our government as fast as it's changing for us. And the government has a responsibility, and they understand that if individuals go into a panic, you know, we have 350 million people. If we go into a panic, there's going to be chaos in the streets. So I'm sure that they're mitigating some of what they know and what they plan on doing and kind of dripping it on us as slowly as possible without telling us, you know, like exactly what it is that we need. But letting in for that's, you know, they're doing briefings every day. They're letting more and more information come out. We see the states. We're up to 4 states now that have closed. You know, so it's happening slowly. And I think that part of it is that they kind of get everybody used to thinking, you know, this is going to go on for some time. So as far as your individual business goes, I think, being that it's massage, obviously you probably can't do that. But I would think about what other ways that can you innovate and you go to your current client base and your community and see what it is that you can provide them. You know, what other products or services do you offer that may not involve actually touching another person that you can provide to them? I don't know what it is that you have, but think about it and think about the things that you know. Maybe you could, you know, like, I don't know if there's like oils or, yeah, go ahead, Steph.
I've got a bunch of ideas.
Yeah, go.
So you have a wellness spa, you have a whole audience already built in and you have a way to communicate with them. Right now, they're at home, they're trying to figure out what to do. You could offer classes on how to give your spouse a massage. You can offer classes on acupuncture points for stress relief. You can offer classes on how to make a homemade facial. You can offer classes on how to paint nails or what you need to know about homemade face masks with your kids. So any kind of value that you can add is going to get them coming back as soon as they can do so again. So yeah. I would really be thinking like outside the box of who are your ideal clients. Where are they right now and what do they really need? And what would be super fun for them? Like what would benefit them the most? You can do meditation classes and all of this can be provided virtually. It keeps a fence built around them. It lets them know that you care about them. It keeps your audience in place for when this craziness is lifted. They'll come right back and be even more loyal.
That's great.
Awesome. Okay. Thanks, Sherry. See you next
spouse
question.
How to give a massage. That's a great thing. I don't have a spouse, but if I did, it'd be a great thing.
Too bad Fergs doesn't have opposable thumbs. He can't give you a massage.
No.
Okay. This is from Janice. Great question. What's a good way to help someone with trauma responses change the meaning of what they have experienced? I realize there are whole courses dedicated to this, but I'm interested in David's thoughts.
Yeah. So one of the things about trauma responses, it's very hardwired into your nervous system. So it takes a little bit of time to rewire. One of the things is to look at truth. I talked a little bit about this yesterday. You have to look at the idea of whoever, whatever caused that trauma was coming from whatever had been done to them. And, you know, if it was done by a person, a person can not do something that they don't already have in them. So it came from somewhere. And one of the biggest things about trauma is to basically kind of cut the energetic cords between you and someone who has traumatized you or victimized you. Remember, when a person's victimized, I want you to think about this. When a person is victimized, it is a form of relationship. Okay. Now, generally, when we think of relationship, we usually think of a good relationship, but this is a form of relationship. And when we stay energetically connected to that person by hate, anger, vindictiveness, revenge, any of that stuff, we're staying in the relationship with that person. So I always, with my clients, I always ask them, why are you staying in that relationship? What is the reason that you're staying in the relationship? When it comes right down to it, it's usually always about control because they don't know how to control their life without that relationship. You're hardwired to a response. You may not like it. I totally get that. You may not like it. But human beings do a lot of things that they don't like because it gives them a feeling of certainty and control. They know how to deal with the outcome. It sounds weird, but it's 100% true. So the idea is that if you change the meaning to the person, then you change the meaning of the relationship for you. Get really clear on why you're having this relationship with this person. And a person can have a relationship with another person and they're dead. It's about the energetic relationship that you're having with someone. Also, it can be with a car accident. It could be with anything, any kind of trauma. When you're experiencing trauma over something, anything, you're in a form of relationship with that thing. So you're giving that relationship meaning by the way you keep addressing whatever traumatic experience that you're having from it. So the first thing is to change the meaning around it. When you change the meaning around it, it allows you to then move out of that relationship, okay? That is the best way to begin going down that road.
Amazing. Next question. My family always has a be prepared mindset. This means buying survival food in large quantities to store. We also seem to always be struggling financially. I'm wondering if there's a connect to our survival mode mindset and our barely surviving finances.
Yes. People generally that are in the survival mode, they're not in a prosperity mode. So they're living very close to the idea that that we always have to be in survival mode because of they're waiting, they're expecting, they're planning for something to go wrong. When we do that, we will experience that. And it doesn't allow our mind to think beyond it. And one of the reasons that people do it is because I have found that people that are in that hyper survival or preparedness mode, they're really coming from a tremendous amount of fear and not being able to, they're worried about not being able to control their world, their own personal world. So they hyper-focus on everything that can go wrong and they prepare for every single thing so that they feel that they can be in control. It gives them a sense of control. There may be a little mental illness going on in some of these areas. But yes, that will definitely keep you broke because generally those individuals are not focused on prosperity. There's too much risk to go after prosperity. When people think about going after prosperity or they want to become wealthy or they want to become really successful, there's a certain degree of risk that goes along with that. It's very much moving into an area of unknown so that you can develop as a person and you could develop as a business or however you're going about it. And if a person is in hyper control, the last thing they want to do is to give up control through the idea of a risk. So it would totally keep you in a broke or a near survival pay pattern. It would be a financial set point for those individuals. Great question.
Great question. This question is coming from an anonymous attendee. I work with physicians in independent practice. A lot of them are operating out of fear, and my day is spent putting out fires. Yesterday, I just went into a spiral, even though I have plenty of money to live for several months, but I think it's more fearful of what's to come down the road. So one, how do I keep them in control about what they can do? And two, how do I keep myself from buying into their fear?
Great question. Number one, you can't control anybody. So all you can do is aid to the way that they're thinking. And you have to take that on a day-by-day basis and in a situation-by-situation basis. When somebody's in fear and you're not on a level playing field, it's usually very difficult to help them to think clearly because if there's any kind of positioning in their mind where they think that they know better than you, they literally can't allow themselves to hear what it is that you're saying. So if that's the case, don't take it personally. It's just the way that they have structured their mind to think. And I'm not saying it's correct. I'm just saying that understand what it is. But what you always have control of is how you react to it. So if you hold the truth in front of you on a consistent basis and you keep affirming to yourself what is true, then you have the ability to reject what they're saying and not go down the rabbit hole. This is also why I mentioned that our environment is so important. Because if you're in an environment where it's dominating your thoughts because it's just too powerful or it's too much every single day, your choice needs to be to get yourself out of that environment and change your environment to a more positive one. There is no other choice because not only do we have not a right to change another person, we can't change another person. Only an individual can decide to change themselves.
Thank you.
Did I answer all of her question?
I think you did, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, this question is coming from Megan. If we struggle to find gratitude for something that is occurring in our life, do we just fake it until we make it? Do I just keep pretending until my mind believes it, or am I missing a key part of this process?
So let me, there's a lot of stuff online right now about fake it till you make it. And what most of what I'm seeing is incorrect because they're using fake it till you make it not the way that the term was meant to be used. I think what they're perceiving is that I'm going to pretend to be successful but I'm not actually changing anything that I'm doing. So I'm just pretending to be successful in the hope that I will become successful. The idea of fake it till you make it was basically about the attitude that you should have until you change the way that your mind is thinking. So generally, we all think habitually, and we think habitually based on the way that we were raised and who we were raised around. If the way that we think does not bring us the results that we want, we have to take conscious control over those thought patterns and begin to change them one at a time. So when we begin to change them, that is spending a lot of time in your conscious mind, and we can't spend 24 hours a day in our conscious mind. It would be way too exhausting. We can't do that. That's why the subconscious runs so much of our life. But we have to keep putting good thoughts and good actions and that are the cause of what we want to experience and practice that every day until it becomes entrained in your subconscious mind and your nervous system where it becomes automatic. The idea is that you get to the place where you don't have to think about thinking successfully anymore. You've literally retrained your brain to think according to the laws and you do it automatically. It's not a conscious thought anymore. That's the original idea behind fake it till you make it. It is that you bring the attitude of winning or success to everything that you do and you act it out as if you were already programmed to think that way automatically. And eventually you will think that way automatically and you will get the result, period.
Awesome. This next question is coming from Frankie C. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Frank.
I believe you said truth follows the facts.
Are you eating lasagna, Frank? Is he eating lasagna? You better not be eating lasagna. All right, go ahead, Steph.
Okay. I believe you said truth follows facts. What to do when the facts are not clear? Getting mixed signals from the government. How to shift? So I believe he's saying, like, you say to know the facts, but how do we know what the facts are? And then what does that have to do with actually following the truth?
Yeah, so you can only go by the facts that we've been given. So that's why I said stay out of the rhetoric. Here's the fact. So who's giving us the facts? The medical community and the government, right? They're giving us the information. I don't know whether all of that information is true or it's not true. I mean, it could be just as twisted as some of the news stations. Who knows? But we can only go by what it is that they're telling us. So if we look at exactly what the government is saying, if we look exactly what the medical professionals are telling us to do, those are the facts that we need to go by right now. As far as in the consideration of how we take care of ourselves and what's going to happen financially with the country. But the truth is, Frank, that if you think about what you're in right now, think about what it is that you desire for your life and what has to change in order for you to create that desire. But here's what we can't think about. We can't compare that to the way things were. We have to now understand that we're in this pause. The world is in this pause in this moment, and all the rules have changed, meaning that, well, you can't leave home, I guess, Frank, because you're in New York. So how do you live and how do you move through this based on whatever limitations that they've given you so that you can think abundantly, right? And that's where, you know, outreaches for help and finding different ways of opening up channels to get things to you is the best way to actually go about doing that.
Thanks, David. So I'm going to ask this. You can choose to not answer it because I'm sure the person can watch it on the replay, but it might help. Can you restate, summarize the process of traveling up the emotional scale?
The awareness chart that I did, is that what they're talking about?
I think so. Reviewing the letters, their meaning, and the process of it.
Yeah, I can do that. Okay, so these are levels of awareness. And if you think about awareness as far as higher thought frequencies, lower thought frequencies. Lower thought frequencies take us down to death, destruction, decay, that type of thing. Higher thought frequencies take us into possibility, promise, and prosperity. How do we do it? First thing we're looking at is our results. Our results tell us where on this chart we are. And again, we're looking at the results based on the idea of what has changed, not in comparison to the way that life was before. because life, the way it was a couple of weeks ago, had a different set of parameters as to what we can do. So we must consider that those parameters have been shrunken down in a way that we're in this pause, and we have to think about it as far as that goes. If we get into comparison, then we go down a road of doom, and that's no good. So the first thing that we do is we're grateful. God is good all the time, and you practice gratitude for this whole damn thing, okay? You want to be in a state of gratitude as much as you can. Gratitude will allow you to become aware of the next level up, okay? Because when you go in gratitude, you're actually moving the frequency of your thoughts higher. That's what gratitude does, all right? Then it makes you aware of thoughts that are on a higher plane. Once you're aware of thoughts that are on a higher plane, you become aware of an opportunity on a higher plane. And then, so that's the A. And then you decide, you make a decision. And what I said about making a decision was, this is also where a person can get very stuck, because they become aware of something that they could do positively in a positive direction, but at the same time, they're aware of the circumstances below them, the negative circumstances. And generally, the positive one is unknown. We don't know how that is going to actually work out to us. So sometimes we get very confused, we procrastinate, we start going into what-if mentality, and we're projecting different outcomes in our mind. And the truth is, we don't know until we actually do it what the outcome will be. So we don't want to get stuck in the confusion. We want to make a decision so that we can get to the outcome. Now, when you make the decision, you have to change. You have to change the way you're thinking. You have to change the way your emotions are feeling. You have to change the behaviors that you're doing. You can't just become aware of it and say, I'm going to make a decision, and then tomorrow you go back to the same thinking, the same negative thinking, the same negative emotions, where everything is controlling you instead of you controlling it. As you change, and you do this over a period of time, remember, time is condensed. A long time right now is a day, okay? Time is condensed. As you change, you adapt to that change, okay? So every day there's new information coming in. Every day we're making changes, and we're adapting to those changes based on the new information that's coming in. Which, by the way, if the new information that's coming in, it could cause you to have to go back to the beginning and start over, because it's changing every day. And depending on how that change is determined, like we have four states that have gone into lockdown. So if you're in one of those states, and yesterday you were able to go to work, but now they said not all non-essential businesses have to close and you have to stay in your home now, and you were practicing gratitude, now you have to go back and do it again for your new situation, all right? Is that making sense, Steph? Am I saying that clear?
Yeah, it makes total sense.
Yep, okay. All right, so then you adapt to what that is. And the adaptation is taking place every day, every single day, because every day everything is changing. And then what happens is that you grow. You grow spiritually, psychologically, emotionally, physically, and you'll see it in your results, wherever I put results down. Your results will show up different up here. So now when we grow, it allows us to see to the next level. So we're here, but the growth, because we've grown in our awareness, it allows us to go to the next level and see what the new opportunity is here. Then we bring this process up to this line. And we do it for each level of awareness as we work our way into the new situation that we want for our life. Is that good, Steph?
Fantastic.
Great.
Yeah, we had four or five people ask the same question, so that's why I thought maybe it would be worth it to reteach it.
No problem.
Okay, next question. This question's coming from Jason. How do we address the fight or flight response that seems like it's a constant with running my firm remotely? I'm using meditation, but any other thoughts on this would be greatly appreciated, David.
It's gratitude. It's all gratitude. It's all gratitude. Being grateful. Fight or flight is because you've given it a meaning that is not serving you. You're giving it a meaning based in fear. That's all it is. That's what's causing you to be in fight or flight. You're giving it a meaning that's based in fear. You're evaluating everything that can go wrong. You're being bombarded with those ideas based on the change that's happening every day. That's why watching the news too much is not a good idea right now, because it's constantly changing. It's constant fear. It's constant blaming. It's constant accusing. It's constant creating conspiracy theories. You know, the government's behind this, or the president's doesn't want us to know this, or China did this, or other countries did that. Like when people get in fear, they look for someone to blame. And we're seeing that on the news in an extraordinary, I mean, it's bad normally, but we're seeing it in an extraordinary amount. It's not helpful to anybody to do that. So what you want to do is you want to just get the facts, be grateful for the situation, and allow yourself to move up that thought frequency until you start thinking of more productive thoughts. If you're having trouble feeling grateful about the situation, everybody find something that you can be grateful for and begin to work it out. Expand that gratitude in your life. Like, I could be grateful for good literature in my life. I can be grateful for friends like Sarah and Steph. I could be grateful for my dog, Ferguson. I could be grateful for a lot of different things if I'm having trouble being grateful for the overall situation. But as that gratitude fills my heart, I can allow it to expand into my world until it gets to everything. And then I'm grateful for everything. And I'm starting to think good thoughts about everything. It lightens the emotional load. Possibility starts coming into my mind. Laughter and humor is great for us right now. Watch things that are funny. Tell jokes to people. Like, do things to lighten your emotional load a bit, and realize, what's the worst that can happen here outside of that you get it and you die? The worst that could happen is that you lose everything. If you lose everything, you just start over. That's all it is. It is not this big, enormous thing. Now, I very, very much realize that probably nobody wants to do that. I totally get that. But the fact that we have the ability to do that is unbelievably amazing. It's unbelievably amazing. Everybody has the ability to start over if this goes wrong. And like I said, I totally agree. A lot of people don't like that. I don't like the idea of that either. However, if that's what had to happen, that's what would happen. Period. That's what would happen. And rebuild it again. Here's the other thing. Rebuilding it a second time, whatever your situation is, won't take near as long as it did the first time because you already know how to do it. So you have to ask yourself, what are we really afraid of here? And a lot of the fear right now is not about the consequence of what's happening. It's about the loss of control. We don't feel like we have control or agency over our own life because of what's happened. Like I said on the very first call, this is very much similar to if we become a communist country all of a sudden, and the government was dictating where we could live, how much we could make, who, what we could and we couldn't say, right? So what are you really afraid of? What is really the fear that's going on? And what meaning are you giving to that fear? That's where you need to start. Become aware of what you're doing in your own head, and then start practicing gratitude, okay?
Okay, going in a different direction with this one. This is from an anonymous attendee. I'm torn between keeping employees on payroll for a month or so, as that is the most I can do, and closing the office to have a viable business for them to return to when this is over, for myself and the clients.
Yep.
I'm doing them and myself a disservice if I still keep, sorry, am I doing them and myself a disservice if I still keep them on?
Yep, I totally agree with that. And I'll tell you why. Because if you can't do anything with your business, then you're in basically a treading water state, right? So whether you're paying your employees from your own savings account or investments or whatever, or you only have a little bit of money trickling in and you're trying to keep them on as long as possible, it's a doomed scenario. Most likely you won't have enough to outlast what's going on. Some people will. There's some people that will have enough to outlast what's going on, but many, many millions of people will not, that own small businesses. So, and there's no shame in that, right? So the idea is that let the employees go, let them go collect workers' comp. They'll probably make more than if you cut their salaries and tried to let them stay. And you're not going to bleed your own savings dry so that when you do start, you can actually jumpstart it because you have money. if we spend all of our money just trying to hang on and save everybody, then when it's time to restart our business, there's a very good chance we won't have none or not enough to restart it. And then we get ourselves in a situation where it's very difficult to restart and we do have to start completely over. So we have to think through all of these choices. Now, I know that the government spoke, it basically started at the same time we did. So I don't know what Trump had to say today, but I do know that over the night they were working on a relief bill for small businesses that would allow people to keep employees on so that they didn't have to let them go, so that they would have jobs and the businesses would not collapse when this was over. The package is not designed to keep employees so that they stay working. It's so that we don't have to lay people off. And that the employees will still be connected right with their job and the business will be able to take off almost as if nothing happened when we restart the economy again, which I think is an absolutely fantastic thing, because one of the biggest things that they're afraid of right now is that the backbone of our country is small business. And if the small businesses cannot restart, then it crushes the economy for an extraordinary long period of time, because they have to literally rebuild from nothing. And many of them won't. And if they have to let employees go, many of those employees won't come back again. And even if they could, they probably wouldn't be able to pay them, because, you know, if you have let's say you have a company that's, you know, $2, $3, $4, $5 million, and you're running on that kind of a budget every month. If you lose everything, you're not going to start back up at $2, $3, $4, $5 million when you start. So you're not going to be able to pay the staff that you had before you had to let everybody go. So it's important that you really look at your situation. That's what I talked about this yesterday. How fast is money coming in versus your spend? And then you have to really look at it. If the money coming in is really slowed or stopped, and you want to do this, by the way, I think before the money is slowed or stopped, is that you want to really limit your spend so that you're not starting from zero when this starts. This is a way for you to actually conserve your own fiscal situation so that when it ends, you can actually jumpstart and everybody can come back to work and you can operate as a team and be prosperous again. That's a really great question, Steph.
And I think it's important, I'm going to mention this because you brought it up in the last two trainings, that these decisions aren't based in lack. These decisions are based on cause and effect.
They are. They are.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.